It's a bit strange. Yeah, my name is Dennis and I'm an addict. And first and foremost, I want to thank God for another clean and sober day. Because for me, it wasn't always like that. You know, I'm not going to really go into a drug-a-log, you know, because I think the reason said it all. You know, when I drink, I'm a thief, a liar and a cheat, and I'm a male whore. You know, I sell myself for drugs. You know, I'm a very openly gay man with three kids. I will do absolutely anything for it. I will rob my mother. I've robbed my ex-boyfriends. I've robbed my children. And that's what I do. You know, I'm just going to just tell you, you know, pretty much, I think my story is pretty much like everybody else's. You know, I didn't feel a part of, didn't accept myself. So by taking chemicals, I feel like, you know, I'm going to fit in. You know, I wanted to be liked. I wanted to be loved. You know, and chemicals done all the things that it said it was going to do. But, you know, I didn't realize what it was going to leave me with. A lot of misery, a lot of carnage, a lot of mayhem, a lot of destruction. And I never thought that one day, you know what, I want to die. I didn't think that I wanted to kill myself. And my experience is, you know, I never forget it. One morning I woke up, you know, I'm from South London, I live in Brixton, you know, and a lot of my using is around Brixton. I had enough. And I made a decision, do you know what? I'm going to put myself in front of the 810 train going to Orpington from Brixton. And I don't know why, but for some reason, the train missed me. I put myself on that track, you know, because I couldn't take any more. And that's where my using took me, you know, and I don't know, didn't happen. And I used that day and I basically went over, and then my body was found in a trash bin in Brixton. And I'm eternally grateful for whoever that person was that found my body and ended up in hospital. They brought me around. And the first thing I thought of was, where's my gear? Where's my gear? Because that's what used to be on my mind. As soon as I woke up in the morning, where's my gear? You know, and basically, you know, it's like what I got told. It's like, you know, listen, Dennis, if you continue doing what you're doing, you're going to die. You know, and the reason why they were saying that to me as well, because I've got a secondary degree illness. You know, my secondary degree illness since I've been in recovery has moved on from just being HIV positive. You know, I've got AIDS at the moment, you know. But that's life, I accept that, you know. But that's what I got told. But also I got told by, you know, I got three beautiful kids, you know, by my daughter, you know, Daddy, you know I love you. But as much as I love you right now, I hate you and I wish you was dead. I don't know why I got down on my knees after she said all those things to me. But I said, if there is a God, help me. And today I truly believe in a divine intervention. You know, that divine intervention for me is my consultant who I still have today. I said to her, I need help. Because my help before was just, you know, I want money. I just want money to score and put drugs into my system. Because I can't cope with life. I can't cope with all the shame, the guilt, the remorse. I can't cope with all those feelings. I've never been able to cope with emotions. That's why I need to take something. And I told her, if I go back out there, I know what's going to happen. I'm going to kill myself. And she ran around, and I'm eternally grateful to that woman. She ran around, she'd done her homework. I ended up in a treatment center in the Southwest. I'm eternally grateful to that place because it allowed me to, you know, look at addiction and look at myself. Why am I doing all this stuff? But the beautiful thing that it done was introduce me to the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. And by listening, you know, because I was told, you know, okay, Mr. Big Man, you know, let's have a really good look at how well you've managed your life. You know, let's have a look at how you've managed your life long before you even picked up a chemical. And, you know, I hadn't managed my life. My life was totally unmanageable long before I picked up, but I didn't see it. You know, and it was by going to the fellowship, you know, I got told what I need to do was basically take the cotton wool out my ears and stick them in my mouth. I didn't like that. I don't like being told what to do. But you know what? I've done it. And by doing that, I've learned to listen to what you guys have told me what I need to do. Because I was just like, how's it going to work? How's it going to work? And there's a card that says, how it's going to work. I've been told how it's going to work. You know, and as they said, I needed someone with that experience and knowledge of the 12 steps. And then that's what I've done, was just simply ask someone. Because you know what? I've been beaten up by drug addiction in every sense of the word. You know, and for me, it was, I know what I got given was that gift of desperation. I was desperate to do anything. You know, please believe me, if the guy that I asked to be my sponsor, if he said to me, Dennis, what I want you to do is peel all your clothes off and run around Plymouth Harbor, I would have done it. Because I was so desperate. I was so desperate for what you guys had. I had nothing but misery. I had nothing but all this kind of crap running around in my head. I was so wrapped up with self. You know, and a lot of people, especially this guy who asked to be my sponsor, you know, he had a quality that I didn't have. He had an inner peace, and he had the ability to cope with life. And he spoke about issues that had happened in his life, and I say to him, and what, you ain't had a bit of gear? What, you ain't had a bit of tackle? What, you ain't had a user? He spoke about death. He spoke about partners leaving him. And first thing I was, what, you ain't had a bit of gear to cope with that? What, your girlfriend cheated on you in recovery? What, you ain't had a... Because I know, if I know that in early days, if I was going up with a boyfriend and my boyfriend did cheat on me in the past, that's the first thing I would do. And he was showing me something, and he said, yes, you can cope. He said, it's all through the steps and finding God. I thought, you know what, I want what you've got. You know, and it's the truth, I didn't want his cars, I didn't want his houses, because he was financially secured. Well, he didn't have a boyfriend, so I didn't want him, and he had a wife, you know, but, you know, and that's the truth. But it's just, again, he had that inner peace. And he just had the ability to cope with life. And I said, would he? And he said, yes, it'd be an absolute privilege and an honor, you know, to take me through the program. And that's what he'd done. And he asked me some simple questions, you know, do I admit that I'm an addict and my life's unmanageable? I was like, yeah. Sat down with him for, you know, a period of a few months and went through this stuff, you know. Am I willing to believe? Of course I am. I need to believe in something. Because me, I kept on believing in myself, and you know what? I just keep on making a mess of my life. And it was very simple. Step three, it's about making a decision. I keep making decisions based on fear. I needed some facts. And you guys were giving me the facts, which was a 12-step program. And if I'm honest, I was a little bit feared up about doing step four, but he reassured me about what step four was going to do for me. You know, he said, I promise you this, step four is about finding yourself and maybe accepting yourself. And I was really with a lot of shame of how, you know, of what I became. Especially, you know, this guy from South London, lived in a criminal fraternity for a bit, came into recovery for a bit, for like 6 years, didn't do this stuff, embarked on a career as a male model, you know, kind of lived a glamorous lifestyle, ex-boyfriend who's a multimillionaire. I became ashamed of becoming a whore. I really became ashamed of selling myself for drugs to any man. And I'll tell you this from that, and dressing up as a woman and selling myself on Brixton High Street, you know, thinking I was Naomi Campbell in my red dress and my blonde wig. Please believe me, I'd done it. There's a lot of shame around that stuff, to tell another human being all these stuff, you know, but he reassured me about what I was doing, you know, and just had to, you know, look at my defect six and all that was, really willing, and of course I was. I could see now what was causing me my pain. It wasn't my mom, my dad, you know, my kids or my ex-boyfriend. It was these wonderful things that they're called defects of character. But he also said to me, you know, don't just look at your defects, you know, you got some wonderful assets. You are kind, you are loving, you are caring, you're compassionate, you do, you know, you got a lot of understanding. Because when I saw defects, I just thought, oh no. And he showed, you know, told me to look at that stuff. You know, made a list of step eight. I'd armed a lot of people. And was I willing? Of course I was willing. And that's what I've done. You know, step nine. You know, it was about making amends to free myself. And that's exactly what I've done. Financial amends, I don't owe anyone anything. You know, and that's because of this program. You know, there's one amends I can't make, because I know it would hurt that person, and that's the truth. And I have to be very careful about it, as much as I want to do that. Keep praying, but I have to accept that this person doesn't want that. But it's about what I do. I basically live my life through 10, 11, 12. And I bet it's what I do every day is just surrender to God. Because for me, he's one with the power. I ain't got no power. You know, and this is my truth. For me, I'm going through a very emotional time in my life. You know, my mother's dying of cancer. You know, she's got about 4 months to live. And that's painful for me. But what I love is the thought about drinking or taking drugs has been removed. And then that choice has just been removed from me, you know? And that's what that man promised me. I will have the ability to cope with life, my feelings. And I am coping with them. Not every day is easy. And some days I wake up quite sad and I feel quite emotional, fearful. But I have something which is much bigger than fear, is faith in God. I am going to get through this, you know, and in spite of what's happening with my life, you know, I wouldn't give it up because I have a fantastic life. You know, from where I come from, someone who lived on a criminal fraternity, I have a wonderful job. You know, I've got some wonderful people in my life. You know, I've got a wonderful relationship with my sons. I've got 4 beautiful grandkids. You know, my life is good in spite of what's happening. And the reason why it's good is because of God, the 12-step program, and his fellowship. You guys will always remain my teachers. And even the newcomer I listen to. You know, you guys remind me of where I come from. And even those who came before me. And for me, it's about always remaining to be teachable. You know, I was unteachable when I first come to this fellowship. And today I'm not. You know, again, in spite of what's happening, you know, I'm not going to really sit here and whinge and moan about life. It's life. And the reason why I can cope with it is because, for me, it is God. It's a 12-step program. And it's fellowship. You guys have shown me what I need to do. You know, and again, as painful as it is in a moment, you know, in my life, the thought of having a drink or even having a drug or even going out shopping or even having sex, that hasn't crossed my mind. Today, because of this fellowship, because of this program, because of God, I'm a good son. I'm a good father today. And I'm a good friend. And I'm a good person. And what this program, and the biggest thing that this fellowship and this program has given me is total acceptance of self. I'm not perfect. I'm telling you from now, I'm perfectly imperfect. There's days I spit my dummy out. There's days I have a list of resentments that I've got to share off with my sponsor and go and make amends to people, you know, and that's the freedom I get. Again, in spite of what's happening in my life, I still sleep quite peaceful at night. And I'll tell you from now, I don't take any credit. My credit is God, the 12-step program, and his fellowship. And I'll leave it there. Thanks.